flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Schroeder takes a handoff from Pajemski up top, turns Sexton around, and takes the jumper and hits a three. Oh, he and Sexton have their own little battle going on right now. Schroeder on the inbounds, catches and now gets the ball to Looney by the hash mark. Heel fell down. Schroeder takes a three. It's front rim off the glass and in.
Oh, you love those.
Yeah, softly up there. A soft release gave it a chance to go in. Schroeder. Backs up with the dribble. Anderson flashes through. Schroeder takes a top of the key three. And his confidence as a Warrior is at its highest peak right now.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, well, well. Dennis Schroeder can play basketball again. What was different?
Steph wasn't on the floor.
Coincidence?
23 points? Most he's ever scored in a Warrior uniform.
Again, this is someone who averaged 18 a night, like a 23-point night for Brooklyn earlier this year. No big deal. That happened all the time.
And only the second time he scored 20 or more with the Warriors. In how many games does he play with the Warriors now?
Gotta be.
Give me one second.
Gotta be 20 by now.
21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Second time.
Second time. So, I don't know. Like, again, when I think of this, it's like, it's a discussion that has no solution, in my opinion. It has no solution. I've already, before we even started the show, I pulled Lucas aside and I said, hey, Director of Sports, don't you do it. I'm not having a conversation that leads you to put a quote on social media about how the Warriors are better without Steph. I'm not doing it. We're not doing this. Okay? Nope.
You could tweet whatever I say, Lucas.
Yeah, whatever. There's nothing you can do about this. It's like what Steve Kerr said the other day with the dynasty is going downhill. It's nobody's fault. They checked with the gods and Steph is not allowed to not get older. They checked. The answer was no. He's got to get older. That's being a human being.
Nobody's fault, but there you could say there's mistakes.
Not saying they've made every perfect move.
Yeah.
But none of them were, let's make Steph younger. Let's have him stop growing. That never happened, right?
Right.
All right. So I don't think there's any solution here. It's just an observation, and maybe it does help sort of explain some things. You brought it up, and I agree with you. I wonder if some of these players, whether it's because Steph does not present their best style like Dennis Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Steph is almost so godlike that they just defer to him at such a level, they look for him at such a level that they're not playing free and easy and playing their best basketball. And gosh, who would fit that description? Maybe a Moses Moody. Maybe even a Kuminga. But I feel like Jonathan has reached a spot where he's looking for his. He's looking for his. But I do wonder if there's, like, I mean, think of this. It used to be these guys are winning championships and you're asking players after the game about each other and they're talking about each other and they're vibing and they're the Warriors and they're the best team in the world. And now you're having an interview with Quentin Post. And the conversation is like, I'm so amazed by Steph Curry and his amazingness. He drove me home the last week one time when there was no other ride from the airport and what other superstar would do that. Like, we're hot. He is a godlike figure to these guys.
They grew up watching him.
Right, and we're asking them to go out on the basketball court and like, be you, dude. Well, no, I can't be me.
You're freaking Steph Curry.
Right.
Take a 35-footer. That's better than a dunk by me.
So how's that affecting this whole thing this year is something I wonder about.
I think so. And when I brought it up, I think for me it was less, although I totally hear what you're saying, and honestly, now that you brought it up, I agree, like less about the mindset of individual players, and it was more about the style of, and this is offense specifically, the style of offense that the Warriors run when Steph Curry and Draymond Green are running the show. It's the style they've ran for a decade now. And obviously, it's been incredibly successful. One of the more successful decades of basketball in NBA history. They've won 4 championships doing it. But it is a unique style. And every time you get a new person in here, whether it was Dennis Schroeder midseason or it's any offseason acquisition, it's how are you going to adjust to the Warriors style? Can they fit the Warriors style? It's a hard thing to learn. You don't pick it up immediately. It takes time. This also feeds into the conversation of, you know, Steve Kerr doesn't trust the young people because they need to learn how to play in this system. Like, it's not an easy thing to play. It's not what you learn growing up, not what you play in high school, what you play in college. What Steph and Draymond do is so unique that there are few players around the NBA who fit well in that system. And for sure, Kuminga is not one of them. At least it's not natural for him to fit in that.
Nope.
Schroeder, for sure, is one of them. And I think you can say the same thing for every, like, young newbie, like Quentin Post, and like Moses Moody when he was first drafted, and like Brandon Pajemski last year, and like, even at times, Trayce Jackson-Davis. It's not easy for any of these guys. And when you have a roster that generally is filled with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, and then a good chunk of youngsters elsewhere, or players like Dennis Schroeder who play an entirely different style, you have like a clashing of what works best. And you have Steph and Draymond on one hand on the court often together doing what they do, and then you have 3 dudes elsewhere who are like, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be setting the screen? Do I be running, cutting to the corner? Do I cut back door? Do I come and set a screen for Steph? What am I supposed to do right now?
Or even if they do know what to do, it's not what they do best. Like every coach who I've ever spoken to in the history of my life says the same thing. And it's why sometimes I think we talk about coaches too much. Coaches are important. Don't get me wrong. I think that the job they do is very, very tangible. But all a coach can do is put the player in their best position to succeed. That is literally that's as far as they can go. They can call a wonderful play. You go the wrong way, you went the wrong way. And so now we're at a spot, I do think, where that's difficult for the entire Warrior coaching staff because there are certain players where putting them in their best position to succeed is not putting Steph Curry and the organization in their best position to succeed. And that's the rub. And that's the thing that leads to so many people being like, Steve Kerr hates young people.
Hmm.
Well, you can say it that way if you want. I personally think it's absurd. I don't think Steve Kerr hates young people. I don't think Steve Kerr doesn't want young people to succeed. Literally, he has at different times his job has been dependent on it. Nobody thinks the Warriors win the title 3 years ago without Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. Nobody thinks that. And so those are, especially Jordan, young players who developed who? Under Steve Kerr. Does he hate him? I get what happened next, and it makes people think that. But what I think is happening is it's a little bit more like the whole staff gets put in a spot where there's no good answer, and you have to pick a side. We can go over here and just focus on developing these guys, but that's going to take away from our bread and butter and Steph Curry and his style. It's going to take away from that. Or we can lean into Steph Curry because that's what we've always done and it's been very successful. And it is going to slow things down a little bit for the young guys. And it is going to frustrate them at times. But that's what we choose. And largely, maybe at least until now, I think that's been the right thing to do. It's a choice that I would have made. I would have made the same choice.
Yeah. How can you blame a coaching staff for being like, we're going to keep putting Steph and Draymond in the best possible place for them? Like, that's an easy, it doesn't even take a second to think about making that decision.
But do you translate that to mean, man, they're keeping Kuminga down? Well, that might be a byproduct to a certain degree.
It's not their motivation in making that decision.
It's not what they're trying to do.
Of course not.
Yeah.
That would be malpractice if that was it, and they're not in the business of malpractice. I think that there is, though, specifically with Jonathan Kuminga and also with Dennis Schroeder, there is like a very real, and this is more so about, I think, Kuminga actually. Schroeder does fit in this bucket. And this is maybe what you're getting at least up to this point. There is the reality now where I think the Warriors are looking at the current roster and what they currently have, and this could entirely change if they make a big move at the deadline and the roster changes and you have different players with different skill sets in here, and then maybe you adjust right back. But let's just say this is the roster for the rest of the year. At least largely, this is the roster. Kuminga's on it, and Schroeder's on it, and you don't have another major scorer added in here, okay? I think it would benefit the Warriors to, at the very least, consider what is best for those other two dudes. Because I think what's best for Steph and what's best for the Warriors now is to find a way to take some of the pressure off of Steph. Because it's just not going to work the way this is. It's what I brought up yesterday to you. Or maybe it was Monday, whichever day it was. Yesterday,
I think. One of those days, yeah.
Like, what the Warriors need in an ideal world, they have someone who can be a number one at times throughout the course of the regular season. Because Steph, as good as he still is, can't do it for 82 anymore. He can do it if you save up his energy. He can do it in a big moment, in a big stretch of games, in a fourth quarter, in a playoff run. There's no doubt he's good enough to do that. But the evidence is right in front of us. He's missing more games because of nagging injuries, which is natural for a 36, nearly 37-year-old. And he's going through stretches like he did in the second half against the Lakers, where he's not making a shot, or in the second half against the Kings, where he's taking two shots because he can't even get a shot up.
Okay. Like,
so if you can just get a little bit of the pressure off of him and lean into somebody else and lean into their strengths at times, I think it ultimately helps Steph, even if maybe on the court in the moment you're not doing what's best to maximize him. You're saving him, thereby maximizing him in the future.
Want to get back to this, but I want you to also look at the clock. Everybody see what time it is? Y'all see what time it is right now?
It's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. So if you're trying to get into the knockout tournament, I would stay right where you are, okay? All the info is coming. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Bang, it's 4 o'clock. We will be giving you the keyword that you need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, we give you the keyword. Keep on listening. Another knockout spot is about to be given out. What are we at now? Eight? Eight people are in?
That's correct.
Right? Yeah. Eight people are in. Three every day for 3 weeks. That's 45 people. Yeah. This is person number 9.
Out of 45.
Mambo number 9. This is number 9. out of 45 spots. So, yes, you're going to have a bunch of chances today, tomorrow, the day after that, next week, week after that, all of that stuff. So keep on trying. We love you for how hard all of you are trying. You should see the fireworks that go off in here when we when one of these Sounders plays. Just lights are flying up everywhere, the lines, like we see the intensity that you all have, and we love that. And then we're here to tell you, yes, it is worth that. It really is a moment. You will take a moment. I just want to describe this to everybody for a second, because this is true even for all of us. And we get like credentials to these events. But when you just walk out on the floor, don't call now. Stop. Anyway.
We didn't even read the contest number.
I don't even have the keyword, dog. What were you going to say if Steven answered the phone? You're just going to guess an English word? I don't even know what the keyword is yet. But
you could read ahead there and figure it out.
I could look ahead. Yeah. Okay. Yep, now I do. Anyway, it is a moment. It's really a moment to walk out on that floor. There's nobody in the stands. Like, and you just go stand at center court and look around and breathe it in and do that thing that all of the little people in us used to do, which is just like, imagine that it is full.
Five. Four,
right, count it down.
Three,
count it down.
Two,
the difference this time is if you do that, if you count down from five and pretend that you are taking a game-winning shot, Guru will be there to block that shot. he will block your shot, and then he will laugh at you.
And he will get it videotaped, and he will post it on social media multiple
times. You will be on social media forever, and you will not know that he thinks that you were playing one-on-one, and that's it, and that he owned you. That's the way it goes.
There are a lot of cool perks that come with this job. Honestly, the knockout tournament is like my favorite.
Oh, dude, you're shooting the rocket chase.
It's amazing.
You're shooting
so
the rocket
much
chase.
Fun.
It's really cool. Very, very, very cool. So it's a pinch me kind of a thing. So we appreciate how hard all of you are trying and want to invite you to keep on trying. And again, you will get this keyword in now about 7 or 8 minutes, okay? So stay right where you are. Keep on listening for your chance to get into the knockout thing. All right, so back to this Steph Curry conversation. There is one thing, and this isn't to criticize because I don't really know how hard it is, but I will point out that what they said they were going to do, they haven't done yet.
What's that?
Draymond Green said, Dennis Schroeder does not need to adjust to us. We need to adjust to him. Well, you haven't yet. You haven't. And last night was wonderful proof. Wonderful proof of what Dennis Schroeder looks like on a basketball court when he gets to do what he normally does. Now, I obviously we're not saying we want Schroeder to do what he does at the sacrifice of Steph. So what I understand is that this is a very, very difficult needle to thread where it's like, yes, we want to adjust to Dennis, but we're not going to also then just suddenly make Steph go stand in the corner and wait. However, I think I would argue the Warriors might be served to explore, and maybe they are, the idea of Steph having the ball in his hands a little bit less, having to do a little bit less, having to break down the double team a little bit less, and if that means letting other people kind of do the penetrate and kick and find you for an open jumper type situation, that would probably make sense. So Steph has always been great without the ball. I think I want to see a little bit more of that. I think I want to see a little bit more of Steph Curry on offense off the ball. Because right now, what we're looking at with 5 minutes left to go in these clutch games,
ugly.
He gets the ball over half court and it feels when you're watching the game like there's eight people guarding him. And he literally, I mean, they're having a hard time even passing the ball around. So it's like, get the ball out of his hands. And if they want to go chase somebody who doesn't even have the ball, I got to think that that's going to open up the floor for other people to get better looks.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where you can ask yourself, what's the most realistic way the Warriors become like a good basketball team, a competitive basketball team, a team that can win a postseason series, given what is on their roster? And if your options are kind of the current route, which is Steph save us, Steph go crazy, Steph go nuclear every night.
Right.
Or it's figure out a way to put everyone else in the best position and hope that they improve enough to where they can kind of keep the team afloat and Steph can still be Steph in moments and in quarters and when you really need him. It seems pretty clear to me that even though, I mean, watching some of these players this year, it has been like banging your head against the wall. Like, I know that. But I think that second option, trying to do the most you can to support everybody else and to put the others in the best position to succeed, that feels like by far the likelier scenario.
Yep.
Again, it's nothing against Steph.
No.
It's that right now, no one on the floor aside from Steph is respected or feared a single iota that defenses have to pay any attention to them.
Yeah.
If you could get Wiggins is not actually a great example of this. If you could get Kuminga and if you could get Schroeder and Moody, who scored, what, double figures in seven straight games now, whatever the number is, and Podziemski, who looked darn good last night and has looked good since he's returned from his injury in three games, if you get those working in unison together more consistently, and then guess what? You're still getting 22 a night from Steph. You're no longer relying on Steph to get 30 and to save you every single night. And then you have a little bit more Steph left over if you make the playoffs.
Look, he's a guy who's averaging 22 a night now. And the top scorers in the NBA are 10 points ahead of him, at least if you want to go all the way to the top. Shai Gilgeous is averaging 32. Giannis is averaging just a shade under 32. Jokic is averaging 30. LaMelo Ball, 28. Kevin Durant, 27. And Tyrese Maxey, 27. Those are your top six scorers in the NBA. Steph is not one of those guys anymore, whether it's because of size, age, the teammates, all of the things, whatever. Like, and this is just sort of, I hope that this idea lands. I see Steph more going into kind of what I would refer to as a Darius Garlandville. And Darius is not even, he's not option one on his team. He's option 1A, 1B-ish. He averages a couple points less per game than Donovan Mitchell. But he is still a ball handler. The ball is in his hands. He is actually averaging just a couple of shots per game less than Donovan Mitchell. But he's like someone they're going to rely on, but it's not all the focus on him. So it's a little bit more of an opportunistic way about going to the basket instead of just like, here's the ball, work really hard, and see if you can get your shot. I do think there is a measure of trust that maybe – And understandably, the top-level Warriors don't have with regard to their teammates and their process.
No doubt.
There's not a, like, I'm going to pass the ball here, and I'm going to go run off of a screen, and I'm going to trust that this offense is going to lead back to me or to the bucket, the same way it did if you were passing the ball to Andre Iguodala over there as opposed to Moses Moody.
Oh, and also KD was on the floor.
Yes.
And Prime Clay was on the floor.
I mean, that's silly. That's obvious. But it's more conceptual and like the approach of how do you view Steph. Because as you said, hero ball? No. Like it's not there. Not there anymore.
Hero ball with this roster wouldn't work for 27-year-old Steph.
Yep.
Let alone 36-year-old Steph.
Correct.
And, like, if there is, and I think to your point, the perfect example of that, like, decision that maybe goes on in Steph's head over a split second, it's the shot at the end of the Sacramento game last week. Down by two, a minute and a half left. The team's been scoreless for, like, 2.5 or 3 minutes. You get across half court. You see the double team coming off of the pick and roll. Steph's like, well, you know what? We haven't been getting good looks. I'm going to take the three here from 30-plus feet out. And it almost goes in. That speaks to Steph's greatness.
Yep.
But it's Steph saying, and then you pointed this out the next day, it's Steph saying, I don't trust the rest of this unit to get a better opportunity than this.
Okay. We've arrived at the time. Warriors Wednesdays brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also, I want to shake it up a little bit. 888-957-9570 is the number. And would love to do a temperature check on all of you Bay Area sports fans. Because I was thinking about this today. A little bit of a rough patch. I don't know if everybody noticed. The Eagles are about to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Warriors are struggling to beat the Jazz and their 500 basketball team that is out of the playoffs currently. And don't get me started about the fact that the Dodgers have signed 47 free agents for $3 billion. At least that's what it feels like in the last 14 days, while the Giants are like,
hey, they made a move today.
Yeah, they did. Huge trade to clear money. And the Giants are over here like, hey, Justin Verlander's not 43 yet. So how about him? So the Dodgers run baseball. The Chiefs and Eagles run football. And the Warriors are double-digit underdogs at home in a couple hours. So, like, A, how you doing? And B, we want to throw out a narrative for each team.
Okay.
And then y'all can weigh in on if this is a fair take or not. Because these are the things we hear a lot about those three teams. And we'll throw that at you here coming up next. But most importantly, immediately coming up next, here comes the keyword. The keyword you need to win your way into the knockout tournament. Coming up next immediately. So stay right here. Keep it locked to Willard and Dibs.